Happy Feast of Pentecost 2018. It's very nice to see you all here. Just as Mr. Seeker was saying 50 some days ago, or a little over 50, or this year it would be just about right at 50 because the last day of unleavened bread was also on a weekly Sabbath. We were here gathered together for the last day of unleavened bread. So time flies when you're having fun, I guess. As a subheading, I think maybe this day should also be called the Feast of Donuts. For those of you that were able to come here and avail yourself of the Williams' Donuts, I was telling a group of people at the back table that I didn't realize a donut from Buffalo could be as big as a triple Burger King Whopper. So I'm not even sure I'm going to need a lunch after that one donut I had. Well, brother, there are many themes that make up this Feast of Pentecost that we're here observing today. But perhaps the most notable is the giving of the Holy Spirit to the New Testament church depicted in Acts chapter 2. Most of you know that I practice dentistry for a living. And this morning, to start out, I'm going to take you to a little journey of dental education. You're going to go to dental school here for a few seconds, a few minutes. Working in a dental office, there's all kinds of instruments. You would call them tools. People come in off the street and they want to see what kind of tools I'm using. Well, we call them instruments. The average person calls, for example, the high-speed dental handpiece a drill. It's not a drill, it's a handpiece. Crowns are often called caps. Excuse me. Restorations are called fillings by the common people on the street. A prophy is known as a cleaning. I'm getting a cleaning. Well, you're getting a prophy. Papa, my father, Jackson and Mason's grandfather, the man sitting at the back table, not behind the curtain, just sitting behind the back table, says that dentists have to invent a whole new language so that we can charge a lot of money. And I have to say that's partly true. A high-speed handpiece, or if you want to call it a drill, I'll let you call it a drill. The high-speed handpiece turns a burr, not a bit. Bits go in drills. Burrs go in handpieces. But that high-speed handpiece turns at 40,000 revolutions per minute. 40,000 revolutions per minute, that burr is spinning in that handpiece. Now, if you were to divide that over the course of seconds, so there's 60 seconds in 1 minute, so divide 40,000 by 60, you come up with a number 666 revolutions per second. I'm not going to say how the number 666 relates to dentists. I'll let your mind wander on that one. You can marinate. But maybe that's why they consider dentists to be akin to Satan. Because they have the number of the beast with the handpiece. Patients will often make the comment to me, I can't stand the sound of that drill. Again, the high-speed handpiece. Well, that's because that handpiece is a mini jet engine. It's got turbines in it, just like a jet engine does, and there's air going against those turbines, turning that handpiece 666 revolutions per second. Now, if you were to ask most dentists, and I think you would get this answer from most any dentist that you ask, they would say, what is the most effective tool or the most powerful tool in the arsenal of a dentist? What's the most important piece of instrumentation to a dentist in a dental practice? And it would be the high-speed handpiece. What are the uses of that high-speed handpiece? There's three major uses of that handpiece. The first is to cut. The second is to shape. And the third is to polish. So with that high-speed handpiece turning 40,000 revolutions per minute, we use that as dentists to cut, to shape, and to polish teeth. Brethren, just like the most powerful tool in a dental office being the high-speed handpiece, God has also given us a very powerful tool as well, known as, or called, the Holy Spirit. Have you ever stopped to consider what are some of the most effective uses of the Holy Spirit that you have been given? Brethren, the SPS of this sermonette is to show three ways the Holy Spirit can be used in our lives to cut, to shape, and to polish our character and our spiritual lives. If you would, turn over to John chapter 16. We'll start there this morning on this Feast of Pentecost. John chapter 16. John chapter 16 and verse 7, we read, Christ is talking here before he's going to be crucified and resurrected and returned to God the Father. Christ is saying, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. Talking about he would be crucified and killed and returned back to heaven to meet with God the Father, to be with God the Father. He says, for if I do not go away, the Helper, meaning the Holy Spirit, will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. So the Holy Spirit here has the personal pronoun used as him. And Christ goes on to say in verse 8, when he has come, he will convict the world of three things: sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. So, brother, this scripture was written about the Holy Spirit to the world at large, but we, having come out of the world, that scripture would also apply to us, wouldn't it? As far as sin in our lives, righteousness in our lives, and judgment. Brother, just like the most important instrument in a dental office being the high-speed handpiece, which can cut, shape, and polish, how can the Holy Spirit be used to cut, shape, and polish our spiritual lives and character? So let's look, how does the Holy Spirit cut us? Now, not physically cut us, like you would cut yourself with a knife, but how does it spiritually cut us? Brethren, the Holy Spirit cuts us by helping us recognize sin. So when I'm cutting a tooth with a high-speed handpiece, I'm removing the decay out of the tooth. I'm removing the sin out of the tooth, so to speak. And that high-speed handpiece is removed to remove that decayed part of the tooth. Acts chapter 2, and we'll break into the middle of the chapter where we're reading about the first day of Pentecost in a New Testament church, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon the New Testament church and the brethren there, the 120 that were gathered. Acts chapter 2 and verse 22. Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, and this is Peter speaking to the people that were gathered there. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves also know. Verse 23, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands, have crucified, and have put to death. Dropping down to verse 37, and here's the cut. Here's the cutting part. Now, when they heard this, what Peter had said back in verse 22, starting in verse 22, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? So, brethren, just like the high-speed dental handpiece cuts, some of the 120 of our fellow brethren who are gathered there on that day of Pentecost of the New Testament church were cut to the heart, realizing that by their actions and by their sins, they had to cause Jesus Christ to be crucified. You ever heard of the saying, let your conscience be your guide? Well, if you just let your human conscience be your guide, that can lead you to some pretty bad things, as we see in the world around us. Brethren, our consciences need to be made up of the Holy Spirit in accordance with God's law. And only then can our conscience be our guide. How does the Holy Spirit shape us? Cut, shape, and polish. How does the Holy Spirit shape us? Brethren, the Holy Spirit shapes us into righteousness. After we remove that decay, if we're talking about a tooth, and we place a restoration, or as you would call it, a filling, the high-speed handpiece is used to shape that filling. The filling doesn't go in all nice and contoured and beautiful looking. It has to be placed first, then it has to be contoured with the high-speed handpiece. It has to be contoured to an ideal shape. Turn over to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6, and we'll start in verse 17. Romans chapter 6 and verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Verse 18, and having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So God and His Holy Spirit shape us over time by living God's way of life, shape and recontour our lives, our spiritual character, properly into righteousness. The Holy Spirit in the Bible is characterized by several different things. One thing is oil. The other thing is water, or also fire, the wind. Have you ever seen what water does to a rock, a rough, ragged rock? Around the ragged rock, the ragged rascal ran from Spokesman Club. But water, if placed over a ragged, rugged rock for some period of time, will reshape and recontour that rock just by the water flowing over it. If you ever had the opportunity, I haven't, but I've been told that when they turn Niagara Falls off, the rock is completely smooth that water flows over. And that's because for hundreds or thousands of years, who knows, that water has been flowing over that rock and reshaping it and recontouring it. What about polishing? How does the Holy Spirit polish us after it cuts us, after it reshapes us? How does it polish us? Brethren, the Holy Spirit polishes us by preparing us for judgment before God. Prepares us for being judged before God. So after removing the decay, after placing that filling or that restoration, after recontouring that restoration, we have to be polished so that we can become before God and be judged. For those of you that might have had a dental restoration done at some point in your life, have you ever felt one where the dentist left it rough? All you do is play with it with your tongue. I have people come in and tell me, you know that filling you placed for 5 or 6 days, I just play with it with my tongue because it's annoying, because it's rough. So they judged me, and I didn't pass the judgment because I put a filling in and I didn't polish it enough. So I have to go back and I have to repolish it. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 9. For to this end Christ died and rose and lived again, that he might be Lord of both the dead and the living. But why do you judge your brother, or why do you show contempt for your brother? For here, so the next statement is about the judgment. For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. So that's why we have to be polished, because we, as God's people, are now under the judgment of Christ. We, as the first fruits that this day also pictures, right now we are standing before the judgment seat of Christ, and we must be polished, just as that dental restoration should be properly polished. So, brethren, by using the Holy Spirit to help us discern sin, we can live God's way throughout our lives to build righteous and godly character, to be reshaped, and then enable us to stand favorably before the judgment of God. Just as the most powerful instrument in a dental office is a high-speed handpiece, which is used to cut, to shape, and to polish, on this very day, some 2,000 years ago, Christ, as he promised his disciples and those 120 people that came together on that Feast of Pentecost in the New Testament church, he promised them the Holy Spirit to help cut, shape, and polish them. Brethren, as God's people here today, we also have access to that Holy Spirit that was spoken of in Acts chapter 2, and we also have the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to cut, to shape, and to polish our spiritual lives.